finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. I'm finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay.
Amen. I appreciate the message and song, my friend. Amen. By the way, I find myself many times at a loss for words. Some of y'all might look at me and say, no, but it's true. Amen. Sometimes I don't know what to say. Amen. I think if I say something, then eventually something will come out. Amen. Folks, we're going to be in Psalm 119 tonight, just for a little bit. We're going to continue on in our EKG and heart checking scenarios of our lives, amen? And we're going to look at another heart condition that if we're not careful, we'll miss out on some blessed things, amen? By the way, I appreciate all of y'all who have been here each night in support of your pastor, amen, putting up with me. I've been enjoying that, y'all putting up with me, amen? But y'all are here to support the pastor, support the church, and I do appreciate that, amen? I think I finally run my wife off, amen. She was sitting. Say again? Yeah, she can't stand me anymore. She'll have to watch it, all those things there. Make sure she's watching the TV set, too. She'll turn it off, amen. Psalm 119. When you get this, amen. Amen. We're going to start reading in verse number 9. So stand with me for the reading of the Word of God tonight, folks. Psalm 119 and verse number 9. This is a familiar passage to many, amen. I know that Pastor Dawson has more than likely preached this passage because it is one of an encouraging nature, amen. But it's also one of an inquisitive nature. It says down here in verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart, notice that, with my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all thy judgment, all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And we're going to just go into verse number 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Father, we love you and thank you today for your grace and mercy once again. We thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have, Lord, that we might come and be in the ministry, Lord, that we might be a part of seeing what thus saith the word of God and see, Lord, that you take it over in our lives. I ask now that you bless, Father. My biggest plea, Lord, is when it's all said and done, as even the Apostle Paul said, that he would not be a castaway. And so, Lord, I want to make sure that I am in the way that you would lead me, that I might speak and say the words that are dear to your heart. So, Father, I ask that you empty me of self, that you fill me with your spirit, and, Lord, that you take charge of my frame, that, Lord, when it's all said and done, you will get all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. For we praise you today and love you, for we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake, amen and amen. You may be seated tonight, folks. As I was mentioning some things last night, did you know the heart is an amazing marvel? It beats an average of 75 times a minute, 40 million times a year, and 2.5 billion times in the lifetime of a 70-year-old person. Amen? At each beat, the average adult heart discharges about 4 ounces of blood. This amounts to about 3,000 gallons a day, or 650,000 gallons a year, enough to fill more than 81 tank cars of 8,000 gallons each. That's your heart. Amen. The heart does enough work in 1 hour to lift a 150-pound man to the top of a three-story building. Enough energy in 12 hours to lift a 65-ton tank car 1 foot off the ground, or enough power in 70 years to lift the largest battleship afloat completely out of the water. That's that little thing that's beating in your chest. Amen? In 1988, it was estimated that over 68 million Americans have one or more forms of heart disease, of blood problems. Some have heart conditions where they have to get stents put in, and some have to have bypass surgery because arteries and things have failed, and they got to go through all of these situations in their life because of the heart having issues, amen? This thing does a lot of work, amen? It's not one of these lazy things. When anything and everybody else rests, the heart does not, amen? Nearly one-fifth of those deaths In 1988, 45.3% of all deaths in the country were due to heart disease. Nearly one-fifth of those deaths were under the age of 65. It is estimated that 1,500,000 Americans will have a heart attack this year, and over 500,000 of them will die. Amen? Understanding that nearly half of all deaths in this country are heart-related, more and more Americans are becoming health conscious and doing things that are necessary to help reduce the risk of heart attack. I mean, they'll go on diets. They'll reduce cholesterol. Now, and by the way, sometimes you got people like me. I told y'all before, they tried to say I had a heart murmur condition. And then I told them, no, there was no murmuring in my heart. So later on, a couple of years later, they put me on the same stress test. And when they put me on the machines and all that, they found out, they said, according to your records, you should have a heart murmur. We don't hear any heart murmur. And I said, yeah, because I got that thing right with the Lord. Amen. I don't want any murmuring in my heart. I don't want to be a casualty because of a heart condition. I don't want to be dying in service because my heart is malfunctioning. I don't want it to skip a beat, miss a beat. I know that there is heavy lifting in the ministry, heavy lifting in spiritual things. I know that. And I can't allow my heart to fail me. Amen. But you would be surprised how many people's hearts got plaque in it. Got stuff that's stopping the blood from flowing as freely as it can. Their hearts got dirty things in it. And even though those things are there, we may understand that they're there. There's many of us are afraid to do something about it. Amen. Sometimes heart conditions get so bad that they actually have to go in and do an open heart surgery. And that open heart surgery, son, it is scary thinking about it. Amen. Where they have to literally cut into your chest, break your ribs to spread them apart. And that's just to get to the organ. And then once they get to the organ, in order for them to do surgery, the first thing they have to do is stop your heart. Amen. They stop it. They take all the arteries and things like that, and they hook them up to a machine, and the machine is doing all the pumping, because if your blood stops pumping, especially to your brain, if you don't get that oxygen there, you can go brain dead. Amen? So they've got to keep this blood flowing through your body, even though your heart is stopped. Then they have to go in there and begin to manipulate the organs and manipulate the veins and all those things there to bypass anything that's wrong with your heart. And then once they do that and put it all back together, then they have to shock that heart back into a rhythmic, amen. Thank you. The word was coming out, though, but, you know, if you just stay out of this, we'll be all right. No. I'd have got it out eventually. It'd have stuttered, and they'd have thought I was smart. Now they think I'm dumber than a brick, and it's all your fault. But it will start it back into that sinus rhythm like she's talking about, amen? And that's what gets the blood, and then they take off the machines, and they get the heart to pumping the blood back the way it's supposed to be, amen? And you'll find out in ministry, sometimes there's people's hearts have started getting hard. Plaque gets in there. And by the way, plaque gets in there because of the foolish things that we have ingested in our lives. Amen. It causes our hearts to malfunction. Amen. If you've been in ministry or if you've been around church any length of time, there's going to be some times where you're going to have some heart palpitations. Something's going to frustrate you about ministry. Welcome to life. Amen. Welcome to life. David is no exception to some of these things. And as he's dealing with the word of God, he's dealing with some challenges. And he says, first and foremost, the biggest problem we're going to have is we're going to have to get our hearts right. And I tell you, folks, you can have all the revival in the world, but if hearts aren't getting cleansed and lives aren't getting right, no change will ever take place. Amen. Amen. And so the Lord wants us to get things right. And by the way, if you look at Psalm 119, it's the largest chapter in the entire Word of God. I mean, it's got verses upon verses upon verses. It's so large. It's larger than several books of the Bible. Amen. One chapter. And it goes through the entire Hebrew alphabet. And so when you get into verse number 9, you're getting into the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And he's going to tell you certain things within this thing concerning how to make sure we get our hearts right and our lives right so we can always be in beat, in sync with God. And sinus rhythm, thanks to our dear sister, in sinus rhythm with God. Amen? And if not, it tells us how to get our hearts right. Amen? And by the way, he's going to use several words in here dealing with the things of God. First of all, he says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto thereunto according to what? His word. I deal with his word. He said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy what? Commandment. So it's known as his word, his commandment. Look at verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy what? Statutes. Amen. With my lips have I declared all thy what? Judgments of my mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy what? Testimonies. As much as in all riches. I will meditate on thy what? Precepts. And have respect unto thy ways. I will delight thyself in thy what? statutes and forget not thy word. All through this thing, it's telling you the only way that we can possibly get to where we need to be for God is to literally let the word of God cleanse us and infuse us and take away anything that could be blocking us and blocking the blood from flowing through our heart. Amen? And however you want to look at it, however you want to phrase it, if you want to deal with his testimony, if you want to deal with his statutes, if you want to deal with his precepts, if you want to just deal with his law, his way, I don't care how you want to phrase it, he says you need it to get your heart right. Amen? Amen? And I find out sometimes, if I'm ever going to be what I need to be for God, if you're ever going to be what you need to be for a shining light, if you're ever going to be what you need to be for your own family, we got to get our hearts right. Y'all agree with that? Amen. Now let me ask the hard question before we get started good. How many of us would say right now, my heart is right? Just slide your hand up. Hold up high. Praise the Lord. Man, y'all just saved me a whole lot of time convincing you. Could we get somebody to play the invitation? And bring your hearts down here to the Lord. By the way, folks, I can tell you that something's wrong with your heart, but if I don't tell you how to get it right, you'll go out of here with your heart still wrong. It's one thing to find out that Jehu had a heart problem last night, right? But Jehu, when you looked at it, you never saw him giving up that worship of the golden calves. How do I get those golden calves out of my life? How do I get those things out of my life? And he's going to show us how to do that. Amen? And by the way, I want you to see this principle from several perspectives. First of all, I want you, the psalmist is letting you know, first and foremost, the resolve that is in this man's heart. I know I got to get some things right here. Amen? And it was a resolve in his heart. He realized something. There were some difficulties which must be overcome. Now, this isn't a message. This is just an introduction. There's some things that I got to overcome if I'm going to get my heart right. And one of the things I have to overcome sometimes is to recognize that my heart has a problem. Amen? You ever let somebody else's problems affect you? Amen? My heart has a problem. Here's a resolve. He said, I got to get this thing right. Amen? The difficulty which must be overcome and the necessity which must be recognized. I got to overcome some things, but I got to recognize I got the things to overcome. Now, we've already headed the game. I asked if everybody's heart was clean, and nobody raised their hand. So we already know we got challenges, amen? Y'all still with me? Amen. We're going to get somewhere with this thing here, I promise you, amen? And we'll get somewhere in a timely fashion, I think. There's no promises there. There's a resolve in this man's heart, but also there's the recesses of this man's heart. He realizes it's not a superficial thing. Amen? Some things, you ever see people who hold their feelings on their shoulders? Amen? They're very superficial. But this person here didn't have a superficial issue. He said there's a heart, there's a depth to this. He said, I've hid it in my heart. And it's in my heart where the things have to take place, amen? And when you deal with the recesses of this man's heart, you have to deal with the existence of the depths. Some people have some issues that are deep-seated in their heart, amen? Some people have those issues that I still got to get cleansed. Not only that, the importance of the depths. God has these depths there that if your word of God is hidden there, when times get tough, it will come out. Instead of you coming out. Because the Bible says out of the hardness of heart, it deals with the out of the caverns of the heart. Inside your heart, there's basically 13 evils in your heart. Did you know that? And even though you got saved, those evils did not go away. They're there. Amen. When you check out Matthew, I mean, they're all there. And he says, and that's what's going to come out of your mouth. Those things which are in your heart. So sometimes you may blow up and say some things, and when you say them, you think, well, I don't know where that came from. Well, let me tell you where it came from. It came from your heart. It was there. Amen. And it hides there until you get rid of it, till I cleanse it. So the resolve in this man's heart, the recesses in this man's heart, and notice the results in this man's heart. He's got only one thing that he's concerned about. I don't want to sin against God. That's the only thing I'm concerned about. And by the way, if I nurture that concern, then watch this. If I'm determined not to sin against God, then I'm going to be careful not to sin against you. Amen? Because he said, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen and hate your brother? He said, it's impossible. In order for me to make sure that this thing is right, I need to make sure that I'm right with you. You people say, well, I love everybody, but I don't like them. It's foolishness. You can't do that. Amen? I can love you, but not like what you do.
Right.
I'm commanded to love you, but I'm not commanded to love what you do.
That's right.
Amen? Jesus teaches us to love the sinner and hate the sin. We can't separate them sometime. We hate the sinner along with the sin. You and I don't have that authority. And the reason why we mess it up, because our heart ain't right. You got me? All right, so let me say we try to get our hearts right tonight. I want you to see something about this heart condition, how to get these things right. And in order to get these things right, he tells us here in this passage. He said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Now, if we're going to get right, it can't be because the pastor said so. Amen? Because if we say it's because the pastor said so, we have to automatically assume that the pastor's right. But the pastor's got a problem. Anybody figure out what the pastor's problem is? He's a sinner too. He's just like us. He's flesh. Now, he's flesh that God has anointed to do a job, but he's flesh too. Amen? So I can't use him. Even Paul had enough wisdom to say, be ye followers of me, as I am also a follower of Christ Jesus. Amen? And then the opposite of that is this. If I'm not following Jesus, then what? Don't follow me. But as long as I'm following Jesus, follow me. Got it? And so as he's coming through, he said, I need to make sure that I cleanse my way, and my way being cleansed is not according to a church covenant.
That's right.
Amen. I'm not cleansed because I keep the church covenant. I'm cleansed by the word of God, which establishes all covenant. Y'all with me? And so in order for me to make sure that I get my heart cleansed, this has to be something dealing with my heart that has a way of making me what I need to be. And that's all the introduction we're going to get. You ready?
Amen.
First and foremost, if I'm going to try and get my heart clean, and if this church is going to get its heart right, the first thing we need to do is, in verse number 10, he said, with my whole heart have I what? Sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. I need to have a seeking heart. You know something I found out? Most people don't seek the Lord. Most people make up their minds about what they're going to do for the Lord before they even ask the Lord what they need to do. I'm not looking for God's will. I'm not looking for God's way. I'm not looking for God. I already know what I want to do. And by the way, preachers do this sometimes. They come up with a message and then they ask God for the scriptures to go with it.
Amen.
That's backwards. Amen. I'm not here to do what you want me to do. I want to seek God's will in everything I do. Because when it's all said and done, if I don't please God, then I'm a failure. And if this church isn't here to please God, then shut her down.
Right.
Amen. And if I'm going to be a part of this church, I'm going to make sure that my heart is right. Because if my heart ain't right, I'm a part of the problem, not a part of the solution.
Right.
And we've got enough problems, bless the Lord. Sin on every hand, sin on every corner. Got cops who camp out in front of your church and they say, this is where we normally hang out. Why is that happening? And by the way, the reason why the world is in chaos right now is because Christians' hearts are not right. The Bible said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and do what? Heal their land. Our land is sick, folks. But we don't have many Christians turning to God. We don't have many Christians seeking his face. And you can't seek his face if your heart's not trying to do so. Folks, I tell you, every single day I want to do better. I want to be better for the Lord than I was today. He's still working on me, but I don't want to have to put him through such a hard task today. Lord, at least make me better today than I was yesterday. Amen. A seeking heart. There's a lot to be done in the ministry, and folks aren't seeking God's heart about it. What do we need to do? How do we need to get it done? Amen. I got to cleanse my way. I got to get myself ready because my heart's not what it needs to be. You ever notice when your heart ain't right, you got issues, the doctor tells you start cutting out stuff. He starts telling you to do something. Change your lifestyle. Amen. I'm one of those weird people. And I say I'm a weird person. I'm a unnaturally big guy. Amen. Some people say, well, you're fat. I say I'm blessed. The Bible said the bones of the righteous, amen, should be fat. So you don't see a fat guy. You just see big bones. You got these thin people in here. Get your heart right. One of the things that the doctor starts telling you to do when you have heart issues, they begin to try to get you to change your lifestyle. They may tell you to cut out certain things. What I was talking about, I was a big guy and I've had these problems. When they check out me, they say, I'm the worst kind of big guy. Why? Because when they check me out, I don't have any heart issues. I don't have high blood pressure. I don't have high cholesterol. I don't have any stress. I don't have any of that stuff. And you know what that gives me? That gives me no incentive to lose weight other than the vanity reason of looking good. And then when I look at myself in the mirror, I said, Some of y'all thinking the same thing. You look marvelous. You're not laughing at me, are you, Brother White? I just want to make sure. It seems like I've got no reason to change. But when it comes down to Christian things, I find myself being bogged down, and I find myself being slowed down, and I find myself being stifled in the race. And many times it's because of the diet that I have, the things I allow to be in my life. And so the first thing they tell us to do, if I'm going to see God, I need to change my lifestyle. Sometimes I got to get away from people. Amen. And God says it, come out from among them and be your shepherd, saith the Lord. And what? And touch not the unclean thing. I got to get away from some things. Amen. When people have heart issues, they tell them, cut out eating a lot of pork. Man, I could wear a ham sandwich, slap out. Some people have issues with it. Some of them tell you, you got a high cholesterol, which is causing your arteries to harden. You know, whatever it is, they say, change your diet. Eat more vegetables. Do more exercise. Do more of these things here. And by the way, the Bible says that too. It says, bodily exercise profiteth little, but exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Amen. Put godliness to the exercise. I have to seek God. I have to work on my heart, amen? And I need to do it according to his commandments. And you'd be surprised how many people will shun God's commandments rather than change their diet to get their heart right. Amen? There's a reason why, by the way, God says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. The reason why we need to hang together is because you ever hang around the wrong people and do the wrong things? Amen. Go to the wrong restaurant and eat the wrong stuff. I got folks who got diabetes who tell me, bless God, I know I should stay away from this here, but I just love cake. You love it enough to get your feet amputated over sugar? Does it mean that much to you to get your life shortened because you don't want to do right? Hey, folks, what's it going to take for God to deal with our lives so we can get right? He said, if I'm going to be right, if I'm going to cleanse my ways, if I'm going to get my heart right, he said, I got to seek God, and I got to do it with my whole heart. Amen. Lord, save us from superficial Christians. Save us from people with feelings all over their shoulders. Because guess what? You got feelings all over your shoulders, the devil's going to hit them. Amen. Save us from hard-heartedness. Some of us may need a whole heart transplant. Amen. I got to have a seeking heart. Look at verse number 11. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not what? Sin against thee. If I got a seeking heart, what else do you think I need to have? If I'm ever going to get any answers from God. Read his word, but it tells you in that next verse, I need to have a sinless heart. Why do I need a sinless heart? Lord, he said, if you regard iniquity in your heart, he will not hear you. Amen? So if I want God to hear me, and he's know I'm seeking him, but if I want him to hear me, he said, if you want me to hear you, then you're going to have to take away the obstacle that's between you and I. Amen? And there's only one obstacle that blocks you from God. Sin. Amen? Well, I don't have any sin. Okay, you need to deal with that. Amen? Because denying that you are sin or that you have sin, you're automatically going against what God already said. Amen. I try not to sin as much today as I did yesterday. Amen. Why? Because I don't have to perform the action. All I have to do is entertain the thought.
That's right.
Amen. That's why it tells me I have to guard my thoughts. And so here I am, I'm trying to seek God. Dear Lord, I'm looking for your will, Lord, concerning my family. Looking for my will, your will concerning this job. Looking for your will concerning this activity. And then he says, okay, are you ready to confess that sin? Well, I'm not ready to get that right just yet. Then you ain't looking for nothing from me. We're looking for revival, a shining light. Okay, are you ready to get your heart right? I just got some things I'll work on later. You don't want revival. Amen. If I'm going to cleanse my way, first of all, I have to have a seeking heart. How many of y'all seeking the things of God? Then I have to have a sinless heart. That means I've got to keep short accounts with God. I need to confess sin for what it is. Amen? And by the way, sometimes it tickles me. You ever hear folks pray when they want to confess sin? And they say, Lord, if you see anything in me that's wrong, fix it. Take that sin away. Let's be honest. We know what our sin is. Amen. Our sin didn't just sneak up on us and hide. They can't see me. Lord, if you find it. David said, I don't even know my heart, but I don't excuse my heart. So he says this. He said, Lord, you search me. You try the reins of my heart. You show me where the sin is. And I'll accept God's judgment. And thank you for his word. So I need to have a seeking heart. I need to have a sinless heart. But notice what it says in verse number 12. It says, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy, what's that word there? You know something? I know I need this, because I'm undisciplined. So I need a structured heart. Amen. I need to know, Lord, how you want me to keep this thing. Amen. How many of y'all like rules? One person, two people, three people, four people, five. Y'all don't like no rules, especially you kids. If y'all had your rules, you would be up all night, eat candy till your teeth fall, slap out. We don't have any. We may say we like rules until the rules have to be applied to us.
Right.
Amen. I don't mind rules for everybody else. Bless God, lock them all up over there. Okay, we're going to lock you up. Wait a minute. I think I should have liberty. God puts down statutes and structures in our lives. Watch this here. To protect us.
That's right.
Who's he protecting us from? From us. So you are not being attacked or being endangered by the world, the flesh, or the devil. Now, by the way, y'all got little plastic things over your plug sockets. Amen? Why? Protect the children. Why? Now, first of all, sister, they can't get their finger in there. I don't care how small they are. They sure will. So y'all protecting the children. Now, what if the children came over there, pulled the ball up there, and said, I want to stick my finger in there. Are you going to let them? You sure? Why? If they stuck something in there, by the way, it's a strange thing parents do. Child takes something, stick it in the plug socket, poof, spark come out, that child scared, step back. And you know what we do? We spank them for putting it in there. But we don't want God to challenge us and call us to any type of accountability and structure in our lives. We step back and say, how dare you? I don't have to. Oh, yes, you do, because God puts structure in your life, and the structure is there to protect you. Amen. Protect you. You know why he wants to protect you? Because he loves you. And he doesn't want anything to happen to you. And it's a shame that we want to fight God's statutes, his structure for our lives. And we think it's a bunch of rules, and we think it's hard. You know what I found out? The psalmist said, I will walk in liberty because I will walk within thy precepts. Anything within the precepts of God, I can do with liberty. Amen. He fixed up the liberty of my home. And you know what? I could have a relationship with this wife of mine, and we could have liberty in it. And buddy, when we're by ourselves, and we could run and frolic, and we could do everything, and we don't have to be ashamed of anything because we're married. And it's cool. Outside of that, you're wrong. You're wrong. Well, I don't like that part. I didn't ask you if you liked it. It's there to protect you. Amen. You'd be surprised how many people don't want to do what the Bible says. And Christian, when somebody opens up the Bible and says, the Bible says, amen. That's your interpretation. I'll turn it to them. You read it. What does it say? And when it says thou shalt not or thou shalt do things, then you don't have a problem with me anymore. You have a problem with the structure that God has laid down in your life concerning him. This may even sound a little weird to some of y'all who know your pastor. Your pastor is a very orderly guy. Amen. He likes things in order. Amen. Amen. And you know something? He was like that before he was your pastor. So this is not something he picked up. Amen. He was like that before that. And even when he was over there in Belgium, even as he was serving in that church over there, he liked things a certain way. And I loved the way God would disorganize his order, because it would drive him crazy. He set up a vacation Bible school. He set up for the buses to be a certain place. He set up for the people to be there. He set it all up. And it all goes wrong. Nothing works out. And you should see how he had to handle that. Because it wasn't about what his planning did. It's what God's planning does. And if your plans are not in conjunction with God's plan, he's going to mess your day up. I still remember him coming, Pastor, what are we going to do? I said, mount up, get your cars, we're going to go get them. And you know what we did? We got out in our cars and went to go get them. Some of the people, the buses finally made it there. But it taught us something. It's not about your plans, it's about his. And God will mess up your order in favor of his order. Amen? And I like it. I like it. So God taught me one thing. I can make all the plans in the world, but I better give God liberty to change every one of them. Amen? And when he does, I can't get mad because my plans was changed. I just have to give over and say, amen, Lord, your will be done. Amen? Because if not, we'll be bitter against God. And once you get bitter against God, you got a bad problem on your hands. Amen? You have to have a seeking heart, a sinless heart. He puts standards in our lives to give us a structured heart. Amen? Now, what's that next verse say? With my lips have I declared all, what? The judgments of thy mouth. You know what he's saying? Not only do I have a seeking heart, not only do I need a sinless heart, not only do I require a structured heart, If I got this right, it'll be a speaking heart. What does that mean? I'm going to tell you what's on my heart. I'm going to tell you what's on my heart. That's why I need God's word in there. Because with God's word in there, when I open my mouth, guess what's going to come out? Words to edifying. Words to encouragement. Sometimes, you ever think about what comes out of your mouth? By the way, you ever think about what comes out of your mouth and it's too late? That means you've opened your mouth, it came out, and you can't get it back. Some of the awfulest words that came out of people's mouths was, "I don't love you anymore." And then once it's gone out there, they said, "Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it." It doesn't matter. Because once it's out, it's out. And forevermore, I'll question the intent of what you really mean. Amen? They tell a story about a guy who was telling this girl how much he loved her. And he wrote her a letter. One was a beautiful letter. He said, "I love you so much that I'm willing to climb the highest mountain in the world just to be with you. I love you so much that I'm ready to swim the largest ocean to be with you. I love you so much that if I need to, I will cross the burning sands of time just to be with you. P.S. If it's not raining on Saturday, I'll try and get by." Yeah. Which part do I believe? Why? That's the truth part. All this large and lofty stuff that he promised is nothing once the P.S. came in. And the P.S. canceled it all out. And you got us as Christians with everything we do for the Lord with a P.S. at the end. Amen? You know what that tells me? My heart ain't what it needs to be for God. Amen? So watch what he does here. When I look at this type of heart, he said, when it comes, when I start speaking, I want people to know that what I say about the Lord is real. Amen? I want to be the best Christian I can be. How many of y'all got that testimony? I want to be the best Christian that I could possibly be for who? For the Lord. Because when it's all said and done, I want him to look at me and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." When Pastor Dawson gave the choir kudos, amen, it's not easy sometimes getting up here, amen. He gave the person singing the special kudos. He gave, and by the way, he put out a list out there. And on the list is for this fellowship, which I'm a bit hurt. Because he made sure he had the fellowship and told y'all to bring groceries and all that stuff, and it happens the Sunday after I leave. I'm a bit hurt over that, amen, because I know some of our ladies here know how to make the lumpias and the egg rolls, and they know how to make the chop che, and they know how to make all kinds of wonderful grit, and I'm not going to get any of it, amen. I think it was done on purpose. Amen. And if it wasn't, he would say, "Pastor, is it possible you could stay an extra few days just to be a part of that?" And y'all would say what?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But you notice he didn't say that. I just said what he could say, and he still didn't say it. Which means what? I'm still out of here on Saturday. Get out of here. Just before, the day before the blessings flow. But there's a list out there for setup and cleanup. And it should be filled before you get out of here. Amen. Some of y'all might want to get on the setup and cleanup. Amen. But it should be filled. Why? Because my heart is here to see that the things of God are done in such a way that I can be a part of the blessing. We got folks, newcomers that's coming to the church, and they need to see how to get involved and put their hand to the grindstone and work for the glory of God through this church. And I can show them how to do it as they watch my name being placed on everything. You know what your pastor's claim to fame was in working in our church? And he taught that, and another fellow by the name of Pastor Frank Herndon. I call him Pastor Frank Herndon because he pastors the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Lincolnton, North Carolina. You know what Pastor Dawson trained him to do? Clean the bathrooms and toilets. That's what his mission was. He wanted to make sure that the bathrooms and the toilets were clean. And he taught Brother Frank Herndon that if you get down here and clean the toilets, which is the lowliest job in the church, amen, if you're willing to wipe up everybody else's internal fluids that they leak off, if you're ready to do that nasty job, then there's no job that God can't trust you with. Amen. And so his biggest thing was, he always, and by the way, he dressed up to clean up. Never seen anything like that before in my life. He get ready to clean up, and he puts on a little dress up. What is that, little white, you still use that? He used to put on a white, look like a butler's thing here. He would dress up to go in there and clean up. Dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. And you see him down there on his knees because he has to clean the toilet. It's not just stand up, squirt something, and then do this. He would get down there to make sure around the little bolts and things. I mean, he would do a thorough job. And people would come in there because people would use the restroom. And unfortunately, people do some crazy things. Amen. When they go into people's restrooms, they start looking around. Instead of just going in there and doing what they need to do, they start looking around. Amen. I got caught one time in Belgium. Cold-blooded, busted. I'm in there using the restroom. I'm looking around. About that time, there's a sign over the door. And the sign says, "What are you looking up here for?" Cold-blooded, busted. I came out of that bathroom just giggling. Amen? You get those things in order, guess what? You'll find out that if they'll look in there and see that's clean, they'll automatically assume that every place else in the church is clean. Amen? And this was his heart to get those details and things together. He's not always been the sophisticated guy that stands before you, giving commands and orders like he's, Genghis Khan. He has not always been that smooth. But there's also a reality. If you don't do it, it'll still get done. It'll still get clean. Even if he has to stay here and do it himself. The same thing happened over there in Georgia. It's going to get done, even if I have to do it myself. And by the way, I enjoy doing it. Right. Let somebody, Pastor, the bus driver won't be here. Bless God, somebody's got to drive the bus. I keep my license up today so I could get in maybe out of that bus like a mad scientist. I got all of those seats in back of me. Yeah, buddy, get out of my way. I enjoy it. Let somebody not be able to sing a special. Let them not be able to leave. Let them not be in their place. I will jump in their place in a minute because I enjoy all of this stuff. All of it. Amen. Hey, folks. So what comes out of my mouth is really a reflection of my heart. I got a seeking heart. I'm trying to have a sinless heart because I want my heart cleansed for the Lord and my way cleansed. I want him to heed and deal with my life. Amen. I want a structured heart. Lord, keep me in a certain way. Amen. Thy word have I hidden my heart. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. I want to make sure God is leading me. I want a speaking heart, so when I open up my mouth, blessings come out. I love doing this here. We was at the restaurant yesterday. Got to pick it with the lady or the person who was serving us yesterday. I mentioned to y'all we had such a good time speaking and just out of nowhere start interacting with them. We had a good time with that guy. He shook our hand when we left. But he shook our hand with this thought where I could go over there. Today was no different. We over there eating breakfast at Mimi's. Mimi's, amen. Got to pick it with the young lady there, and she caught on. And we seemed to be her favorite table after that, because every time, you eat up all your food, you leave nothing there but the old butter thing over there, and tell her, you don't need to wrap this. I won't need a box for this. And she's looking at it as he's looking at you. And then she catches on. And we're just having a good time fellowshipping with her. We were able at that time in that restaurant with all those people over there to invite her out to the house of God, give her a track. And she took it. And she looked at where it's at. And we started picking with her. I said, oh, yeah, here's the pastor over here. And I said, if you can't come out this week, they got a revival going on. But the preacher isn't very good. Matter of fact, he's not very good. He's not very good looking. He's awful. But I want you to come out there anyway. And finally, she's looking. It's like, man, why would he say something like that? And then Sister Dawson said, he's the preacher. It broke down defenses. It broke down guards. But when she heard us speak, it was a spirit of joyfulness. And people will respond to that. Amen. Hey, folks, a speaking heart. But look at this next one. Verse number 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all what? Riches. I found out something. I can have something called a satisfied heart as long as I stay close to God. I realized something. I don't need money. Amen? If God supplied all my needs, I don't have a whole bunch of wants. Amen? As you see, I'm full, so he supplies my daily bread. Matter of fact, he supplied my daily bread, and if you gave me a chance, I'll eat your daily bread too. Amen. I got a roof over my head. Amen. I've got the necessities. I've got clothes on my back, and some of them's good clothes. Some of them, they used to fit me better clothes, but because I've been constantly being blessed. And by the way, I'm retired. How do you get all these things? How do you do all these things? I don't do any of it. I just stay faithful to God, and he takes care of me. Amen. Amen. You look at my bank account, I don't have any money in it. Gave it all away. Amen. And I enjoy giving it away. My only problem that I have in anything that I do is when I can't get involved with giving. Gave it all away. I buy stuff for the church that the church can't afford, so I buy it. Amen. And we got a lot of cool stuff. Amen. That the church, they said, well, Pastor, you know we can't afford this. Yeah, I know, but we needed it. How do you do that? Why do you do all these things here? Because God satisfies me. Amen. Amen. And if we're serving him, I get more joy and more fulfillment and more blessings than if I had a whole bunch of money. Amen. And besides that, I come from the inner city of Philadelphia. We ain't never had nothing anyway. So when I don't have anything, my joy in things is not based upon the possessions that I have. Amen. I don't have any trouble with that stuff. God alone satisfies. When somebody gets saved, I am absolutely overjoyed. The angels in heaven are rejoicing, and I think I'm leading the course. Amen. Come on, fellas, sing with me. Amen. And I ask them, and I brag, amen. What did you just do? I just trusted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Okay. Hey, church, guess what? Such and such just received the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior. And they say, amen. Come out here and give them the right hand of fellowship and don't scare them. Because you know what happens when you got these wild-eyed folks coming at you and they're coming at you like Pac-Man? You said those folks get a little scared sometimes. Amen? But I want them to know we're excited, and that satisfies my soul. There's times when everybody in the church leaves, and I just sit there in that church, and sometimes I just stand there in almost disbelief in the silence of the building, knowing that, Lord, you provided all this. You did this. Amen. When my heart's clean, I don't need that stuff. When my heart isn't clean, then I need that money. I need something to help me. It's okay. It's not for me. Hey, folks. Seeking heart, sinless heart, structured heart, speaking heart, satisfying heart. I got one other heart that you need to have. If you're going to cleanse your way, you need to have a studious heart. Look at verse number 15. I will, what's that word there? Meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto what? thy ways. Lord, I'm going to sit back here and I'm going to contemplate exactly what you're trying to say. You know, the Bible says, Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doeth. Think about it every now and then. Every now and then he just glances over it for future references. In his law doeth he meditate. How often? Day and what? And night. What is the result of that? And he shall be as a tree planted by the rivers of water. Amen? You mean just by that meditation, having that studious heart? New Testament. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Why? Because the word of God gives you everything that you may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to every good work. Amen? Gives you what you need. The reason why I have trouble living the Christian life is because I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Why don't you know what you're supposed to do? Because I didn't read my Bible to find out what God wants me to do. I never studied it. I never tried to take it to heart. The only Bible I've ever got is what the pastor gives me on Sunday or Wednesday. God says, you need to do better than that. How many of y'all only eat Sunday and Wednesday? That's all you eat. Amen? Any of y'all? How many of us got a 7-day-a-week diet of television? I watch TV every day. Any of us? So we can watch TV every day, but we have struggles with God 3 days. You know, you should be giving God a portion of your day every day. At least 10%. That's 2.4 hours. Yeah. Isn't God worth it?
Amen.
Amen. But we don't meditate on God's word. We don't take it to heart. We don't beat it out and shake it over to get the chaff out and get the wheat. We don't do those things. And that's what that meditation is all about. Getting the good stuff out of it. Amen. Because God's word is good. I've been doing this. Folks, I've been involved with just pastoring. I was figuring out today. 30 years? 29, 30 years? And you know something? The more I read the Bible, the more I realize how much I don't know. I'm looking at it thinking, wow! I saw something not too long ago, and I started preaching to our church about it. How many of y'all know about the story of the prodigal son? Amen? In that passage, God starts preaching. The Lord Jesus starts talking about several things that are lost. Amen? It starts talking first and foremost about the lost sheep. Amen? And then the second thing he starts talking about is the lost silver. Amen? And the thing about the lost silver, it deals with your service. He said the woman had 10 coins. She lost one. And it says she had to do something. The strange thing about this loss was this. She didn't lose it in the street. It was lost in the house. And in order to find it, the first thing it says she did was light a candle. That means that somewhere along the line, this coin was lost in a darkness in her house. The second thing she had to do was take a broom and sweep up. The coin was lost in the darkness of her house and in the dirt in her house. It was all there all the time in her house that she lost it, but until she cleaned up the mess that was there, it had no value. But then it said, the lost son, the prodigal son. But you know what the Bible says? There was a certain man who had 2 sons. We don't mind the prodigal. We can look at him, but we forget about the other guy. Amen. Well, it dawned on me. I was looking at that passage, and you know what? Jesus identified the 4 groups of people that the 4 parables apply to right in the very first verse of that. He said that there was 4 groups of people there. There was publicans, sinners. There was Pharisees and scribes. And they all fit according to the parables that he was given. And he outlined all. And you know what? It's like, Lord, it's right there. The people you were talking about, the groups, the problems that they had. And you just outlined it so beautifully. This is 30 years later. You know what that tells me? The more I study, the less I realize I know. Amen? So I'm going to have that heart that's going to study. I want that studious heart. But I want something else too. And this is going to be the hardest one of all. What's that last one say? I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And I told you all to read verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep what? One of the things that's missing in many of our lives is something as simple as a servant's heart. You know what I found out? The Apostle Paul put it this way. Romans, turn there real quick with me. Use your Bible just for a second. Look at Romans chapter 1 with me. Romans chapter number 1. Always have to remember this. How many of y'all know the Apostle Paul? Great man. God used him to write most of your New Testament. Just a phenomenal man of God. Amen? Powerful, powerful apostle. Did some great things. Amen? Romans 1:1. Paul, and what's his first title?
A servant.
I'm a servant. First and foremost, I'm nothing but a servant. Pastor Dawson, you may be the greatest preacher in the world. You may be an orator like no other. You may have the most dynamic leadership abilities any man has ever seen. But the moment you elevate yourself above a servant, you fall out of the will of God. Amen. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you are. As you are saved, the greatest thing you can be is a servant. As a matter of fact, Jesus put it this way. Let him that is to be greatest among you, let him be your what? Servant. You know, we have so many problems in the churches because people forget that they're nothing but servants. Or worse than that, they forget who they're serving. Amen. Amen? I would love to sit up there and say, I'm serving Pastor Dawson, or I'm serving Shining Light, but I'm not. If I'm serving the Lord, then Pastor Dawson and Shining Light will have their needs met at my servant's position. Amen? We forget that. The psalmist said, the best I can be. If my heart is right, then the very best I could be is a servant for God. After Paul identifies himself as a servant of Jesus Christ, he said, now God called me to a different position. I'm not just any servant. He said, I'm called to be an apostle. Amen. And he said, and I'm separated unto the gospel of God. This is my ministry. This is my mission. But first and foremost, I'm nothing but a servant. And you know what? I like serving God. It makes me happy if I have good sense. I like laughing. I like being joyful. And people like to say, Pastor, you're the pastor. Yeah, you're going to blame me for that too, aren't you? No, I'm just a servant. Amen? I'm just a servant. I love getting back in. I used to sing a lot. Back over in Belgium, I used to sing. I step behind the pulpit, and I hear people sing. And sometimes at church, see, as I'm a pastor, I have certain liberties. They'll be up there singing, and buddy, I'll get up there, and I'll wrap my arms around them and get over there. Ah! And I'm just singing along with them, and everybody's happy, and I'm having a good time. I love that stuff. Sit up there and talk about the Bible till the cows come home. I love that stuff. Amen. We was out there. What was that young lady's name? We was out here till all times of night just talking about asking questions about the Bible. Sue. I mean, she had question after question. They said, bam, 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 bam. I love this stuff. I cannot get enough of it. I enjoy serving God. I enjoy serving God's people. I love this stuff. Amen. With all that, I still have issues that I know God has to deal with my heart. So I always have to go back to the Word of God. Amen. If we're going to be revived here, if we're going to make sure that this thing is right, some of us may have to change our diet. Some of us may have to get this thing, may have to get a stent put in. Amen. Some of us may have to have triple bypass surgery. Amen. In order to get us to the place where our heart is right with God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Amen. I need to make sure I'm right with God. And the reason why I want to be right with God, because I want God to be able to use me. Amen. And if that's your goal tonight, let me tell you something. God says, I'll make a way. But you need to come to me, and you need to come to me with your whole heart. Let's stand to our feet tonight, folks. Just for a moment, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can I get this thing right? Glad to see you. No, you're fine. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, I need you to look at my heart. How many would say here tonight, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have that seeking heart. I have a sinless heart. I have that heart that God can look and see, a studious heart. God can look at my heart and see all those things he had down there in Psalm 119. He can see it in my heart. I've got those things covered. That's me. You got that testimony? Why don't you slip your hand up? I got those things together. I'm a seeking heart. My heart is sinless. My heart is structured. I'm following God's path no matter what. God speaks through my heart. I got a satisfied heart. All I need is God. Studious heart. I got those things together. That's me. That's my testimony. Then shining light, if I can't raise my hand to that, then at least I could move and bow my knee to him and say, Lord, where I am lacking, help me fix it. And folks, if we get this thing right tonight, there's no telling what God's going to do for us tomorrow. This is your time. If I couldn't raise my hand, then I need to be prepared to move my feet. When the piano player begins to play, why don't you make your way down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, here's my heart. You know me better than me. You know where I lack. And where I lack, I need you to fix. If none of us could raise our hands, then all of us should be moving our feet. Where's my heart at tonight? And what I should say is this. Would you mind joining me? If we can't make it down here, just even in your seat, but would you mind joining me as I get my heart right? As I turn it all over, because I want God to see somebody who's seeking him. I want him to see somebody who loathes being involved in sin. I want my heart to be right. I couldn't raise my hand and say I didn't have all those things. And that's just a few verses. I got a whole Bible here. If I couldn't get right with a few verses, if I'm not right with a few verses, Lord, then you got a lot of work to do on me. But God said, don't you believe that? I can fix you up in very short fashion. I can cleanse your life in a very short fashion. I can get your heart where it needs to be in a very short fashion. If I get this thing right, oh, what God can do for us. Man, what shining light can be like tomorrow night as we look forward to worshiping and serving God. Lord, you know my heart. It's bad, Father, when the person bringing the message seems to be more convicted by the message because he has to hear himself trying to encourage others and finds himself in need of encouragement. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me when I fail to seek you and try and do things my own way. Forgive me, Lord, where I try and operate and there's sin in my heart. and I try and ask you for things knowing that your word said you will not hear me. I don't even understand why I'm so foolish to do that. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for not studying the word of God like I need to on a daily basis. Forgive me, Lord, when I don't speak and open my mouth. So many people need to hear the gospel. So many people are lost and undone without Christ. And I haven't even taken a moment to open my mouth to let them know that Jesus saves. Lord, that is so wrong of me. So many people you brought my way just today that I could have made a difference. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse my heart and make me what I need to be. Again, Father, I want to be better for you tomorrow than I ever was today. But I'm not going to let the sun go down on my sin. So, Lord, cleanse my heart. And I want to thank you in advance for what you're doing for me and for every heart that's come and kneel before you. The shining light that revival might start in my soul. And we can be excited about the things of God. Take charge, Lord, in Jesus' name, Pastor.